Get up with Gordy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Monday.
Monday.
How good, 4-day week.
after today.
Yeah.
I've just chucked $10 on Margot Robbie for the Oscars today. She's paying $21 to win Best Actress. So I'll find out this morning if I win $210. Not a bad bet for I, Tonya, although the favourite from Three Billboards Outside Missouri, yeah. Which a movie you've seen, I'm yet to see, but the main actress in that is paying $1.04.
But she was absolutely incredible. She was great.
Have you seen I, Tonya, as well? Is way better than Margot Robbie and I, Tonya? Have I got no chance of getting my $210? Gamble they're responsibly.
Yeah.
That's what
they're different.
Say.
They're different.
Okay.
But I just feel like there's a lot more emotional connect with the Billboards actress.
All right, let me just look up. We're going to chat Oscars with Dean McCarthy this morning, of course, live from LA. So it's the biggest day in the movie world for the year, so we find out all the best picks and stuff like that. Before 6:30 this morning, though, I do love talking about the Razzie Awards, which is the awards they hold before the Oscars to hand out the worst actors, the worst movies.
Yep.
And I would love to hear from people this morning. Just give us your worst movie of the year. The movies to avoid. I got to hear from you.
Can I ask,
yeah,
what on earth does Razzie mean?
That's a good question, mate.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yeah, have you got it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know.
Raspberry Awards.
Oh, is that where you go to the movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I see.
Yep.
Cool fact.
The Golden Raspberry Awards.
I still need to get that thing made. Ash fact. That's a live one for you. 6:30 this morning. Before then, we're going to talk worst movies and the Razzie Awards. Feel free to call through 13 12 16. Smarter than who right now? Who would you like to take on, myself or Ash?
Smarter than who?
Look, it is Monday morning, so it takes a little time for people to fire up.
Doesn't it just? My brain is not firing.
We need to get into it for the week, but we've got Deb in your minor who's good to go for this game. Morning, Deb.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good, Deb. Who do you want to verse?
I'm going with you. If your brain's not functioning, I'm with you.
Shivers. Hold on. I need to scull this coffee. Hold on.
All right.
Oh, no coffee.
She needs it, mate. She needs it, Deb. All right, guys. Good luck. Best of five. Names are buzzers. Deb is a gun, I will say, Ash. So,
all right, Deb.
Deb on up. No pressure, Deb.
No, much.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Which singer-songwriter kicked off their Australian tour at Perth?
Debbie.
Deb's in.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran's correct.
Oh, who?
Come on, Ash.
Good woman.
Question number two. Which American comedian is hosting the Oscars today?
Oh. Ash?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy. Oh, as we go back to the 1980s. No, mate. Jimmy Kimmel. I would love to see Eddie Murphy host it. That'd be awesome.
You keep drinking that coffee, girl.
Do you need another sip, mate?
Hold on, let's
all right, let's have another sip, yeah. 2 points to Deb, none to Ash at this stage. If Ash loses this game, she's on equal losses to me. Here we go. Question number three. How old is Australian tennis player Nick Kyrgios?
Oh.
Oof, it's tough, isn't it? Anyone like to buzz in? No one wants to get it wrong. In 3, 2, 1, he's 22.
Sure, I was going to say 24. Thank you for being quiet.
There you go. Question number four. What is the capital city of Spain?
Ash.
Yes.
Madrid.
Madrid is correct. 1 point to Ash. Question number five. If Deb gets this, she wins. If Ash gets it, it's an equaliser. What is 9 times 9?
Ash.
Debbie.
Ash is in.
81.
Okay. 81 is incorrect. Deb with the win.
Damn it!
72 is the answer to that question.
Wait, 9 times 9.
I've got here 72.
That is incorrect.
If that is incorrect, producer Gia,
Gia, get yourself on are you the serious? I copied and pasted this.
Hang on.
I can math, I promise. My bad.
What's going on here?
Excuse me?
It's Ash. Ash got it right.
Thank you.
That's my bad.
What's going on?
9 times 9 is 81, you dingbat.
Can you lend me some of your coffee, babe?
Oh,
Pollard,
man.
A win.
Gee, you have cooked this game. What is going on, my friend? All right, let's go quickly. No, that's an equaliser. So we go back. Deb, I know this is intense for you, mate, but we have the final question here. As
come
Ash
on, Deb, let's do this.
Free celebrates for the win, guys. Correction on the question. Here we go. For the final question. Which car company has the slogan, "Oh, what a feeling"?
Ash.
Oh, that was Deb.
No. Hi, Yoda.
You're just saying that because she's a guest on the show.
Oh, I love your work anyway, guys. Don't fight. Come on, have some more coffee.
Yes.
Fine, Deb, you can have it.
Deb takes it out this morning. I'll make a deal with you, though. Well, I won't put a loss on the board.
Thanks.
But Deb's a winner for a Monday morning. Good on you, Deb.
Yay, Deb.
Yay, Deb, Monday, you legend.
Oh, what a feeling. Toyota.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, Deb, while we got you here quickly, because we're going to talk Razzie's next pre-Oscars, which is on this morning, so the worst movies and stuff. Can you think of the worst movie you've seen this year?
Not this year, but can I go last year?
Please, yeah. What was the worst movie?
I don't know how it won everything, that La La Land. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I like musicals. No, sorry.
Oh.
I was shocked. Me and the lady beside, we laughed the whole way through the movie. She was so entertaining, that lady. I loved her dearly.
See, that's the thing. A lot of the movies that do really well at the Oscars, when you go see him, you think, oh, man, this stinks.
Quite La La Land.
Oh, you liked La La Land, did you?
Oh, sorry. I loved The Showman. That was musical, but it was wonderful. It had a story, but La La Land, unless I was a bit la-la, I tell you, I didn't understand it.
That's Hugh Jackman for you, though. That's why you like The Showman. You can't go wrong with Hugh Jackman. All right, yeah. Deb, a warehouse of intriguing professional kitchenware, HS Express, Tuggerah Business Park, $100 to spend there.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great one.
You too.
Thanks,
Deb.
Okay, bye.
See you, mate. 13, 12, 16 with your worst movies. We'd love to hear them next.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
Would you like some Gauntertainment?
Some Gauntertainment?
Yeah, you want some Gauntertainment?
I would never say no to Gauntertainment.
Oh, that's good news, mate, because I got some Gauntertainment for you this morning. We know the Oscars on this morning. I always look forward to this. It's the big one. It's the big show.
Yeah.
So Dean McCarthy's going to give us all the latest on that after 7. But I like to talk about the Razzies.
Mm.
So the Razzies, these things have been going for 38 years, the Razzies, and it awards the worst of the year. So not the best.
The worst.
And you gave us a little bit of a Razzie fact. You said Razzie's like a raspberry, right?
So yeah, it's
a
bit so of like you're blowing your raspberry.
That movie was...
That was, yeah.
That
exactly.
Actor was... That's for an extra bad movie. 13, 12, 16 with your shockers this year. I'd love to know the movies to steer clear of. But in the supporting role in 2018, or 27, 2018, Mel Gibson, worst supporting actor for Daddy's Home 2.
That's awkward.
Have you seen Daddy's Home 2?
No, I wouldn't.
Cop that, Mel. Whack. Kim Basinger, worst supporting actress for 50 Shades Darker. She plays the older lady in that movie, the love interest of...
Basinger.
Is it Basinger or Basinger?
It's Basinger.
According to who?
Ash fact.
I think it's Basinger.
Don't look at her. She thinks 9 times 9 is 70.
Gee, is it Basinger or Basinger?
I thought it was Basinger.
That's all right, Gondi. You can be wrong.
Please
anyway,
look that
next,
up.
What's the next award?
I want some audio on that, please, when we come back after the 6:30 news. Would you like to know the worst actor of the year?
Yes.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, what?
Wins the award this year
in
at the Razzies.
Film?
The Mummy. Worst
yes.
actor, Tommy Cruise. Tyler Perry takes home worst actress this year at the Razzies for Boo 2, some Halloween movie. Oh. The worst movie from 2017 into 2018. The Emoji Movie.
Oh.
The animated Emoji Movie. You can see why that would have lost, wouldn't you? I mean,
guess,
kids love
but
it.
You know what is a good movie? The Lego Movie, which is similar, I guess, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, nothing to do with the Razzies, though, mate, is it really? I mean, we're talking the worst.
Poor Tom Cruise, he's lost his touch.
We're talking the worst of the worst. And look, a lot of the times actors don't go pick up their awards or anything, Ash, but Sandra Bullock. Here's a little Razzie's fact for you to take into your Oscars day. Sandra Bullock attended the 2010 Awards, where she won Worst Actress for All About Steve. The next day, she won Best Actress for The Blind Side. So she picked up worst and best within 24 hours of each other.
So you actually can go to these awards. Like, it's a proper award.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
They hold it. I'm more about that. I'd rather be there.
So it's funny, though. Like, it's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek. That's why Sandra rocked up.
Yeah, righto. Okay, cool.
And when we return, Bassinger or Basinger? Yeah. What did you say it was again?
Basinger.
Or Bassinger. After the news, we'll settle this debate.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Just gone 6:36 for your Monday morning. Thanks for hanging out with us for a Monday as we kick into this week. We're just talking about the, well, we've got the Oscars on today, of course, and Dean McCarthy is going to give us all the latest. He'll be there in LA, so we'd love to chat to him. I've thrown $10 on Margot Robbie to win Best Actress today, paying $21. Gamble responsibly. We're also talking about the Razzies, which is the worst actors. Mm-hmm. And Kim Basinger has won Worst Supporting Actress for her role in 50 Shades Darker at the Razzies. I just want to play some audio. So this is how I say it, this is how you say it, and then we need to find out how it's actually said. Basinger?
Basinger.
So I think it's Singer. You think it's Singer.
Singer. No.
What?
Basinger. Basinger. Ninja. Yeah.
It's one of those names if you say too many times it starts
weird.
To... Let's hear how a late night... I think this is David Letterman. How does David Letterman say it as people gather around the radio to find out how it's said?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program the lovely, the talented Kim Basinger.
Ooh, Kim Basinger. Kim Basinger. You were adamant, mate.
Fine.
You were adamant, Pollard. Just say I was right. I'll wait.
Well, I don't need to because you were.
Yeah, so Gordon, you were right. I'm sorry. You were right. I'm sorry.
Oh, put a sock in it, would you? Happily saying that you got it correct.
Thank you, mate. Hey, next on the show, smokers back in the news again and the debate for non-smokers to get extra days off. We're going to get to that straight after this.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
The battle between smokers and non-smokers continues in the workplace. Again, another recent survey, Gondi, because we love our surveys, do we not?
Massive.
Mm. Okay, more than 40% of non-smokers believe that they should be, well, they should get at least 3 to 5 extra vacation days per year to compensate for all of the time that their smoking co-workers spend on ciggy breaks.
Yeah, this pops up yearly almost, this story. It's like they roll it out, but...
You know what? I'm totally on that bandwagon. When I used to work in corporate as an events manager, often my co-workers would go out for dart breaks.
Yeah, on the darts.
Yeah, they'd be on the darts and then darts. They'd have their lunch break as well. Meanwhile, me and the rest of us that didn't smoke would be working all day.
Yeah, it is true. And I've chatted to smokers who also are on the side of the non-smokers and say, yeah, go for it. Have the extra time. I agree. We are outside for, you know, 10 minutes, 5 times a day. So the math does add up. I do, interesting on this article, though, that's been out today, I do like the breakdown here. I don't know how they've worked this one out, but they've said workers in tech, retail, finance, insurance, they spend the equivalent of more than 20 days per year on cigarette breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And they say while workers in real estate spend about 5 days. How have they broken that down between tech and real estate?
Well, I guess they would have done a survey, Darl.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway,
I just... believe all the results. Yeah.
But how's this, right? The smokers reckon that the extra vacation time would be a great incentive to get them to quit the ciggy.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, excuse me.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That's your own problem. Like, don't come and try and get your workplace to...
But if it gets people to stop smoking, like, I mean, we all get it, non-smokers included, but maybe you don't get it unless you stop smoking.
No, it's your own fault that you're smoking darts in the first place. Why should...
You know, smoking darts.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're buying the shed.
Macking a dart. Chomping down a dozer.
Look, I mean, this always gets people fired up. 13, 12, 16, if you want to have your say on this. But I'm jealous of the smokers.
Why? They're coughing their lungs up.
Oh, no, I don't want to smoke, but I mean, I'm just jealous that they get to, it's very social, isn't it? They stand
outside.
It's
unattractive is what it is.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I'm just saying they, you know, they seem like they're having a good time out there. Don't smoke.
But there's plenty of other ways. You can go and get a, like, you remember those fads?
Oh, yeah, the fads, yeah.
Just go and chomp on a few fads outside.
Yeah, wouldn't that look cool with the smokers if I walk out with my fads? Oh, hey, guys, how are you? I'm just going to have a fad.
Or you could be like, going out for a fad.
Going out for a fad break.
A big boss.
Yeah. Look, and then there's those ads as well where it says, you know, oh, have you seen those ads? It's all by myself and the person's out there smoking by themselves.
And sometimes it's making it even more...
Sometimes I want to get away from people.
We'll just walk away. Get out. Walk out.
Well, just go stand outside.
Don't have a dozer.
What's Gorney doing out there? Just standing?
It's a bit weird. Well, actually, you do. Like, you know what you do?
What do I do?
To the toilet and spend 20 minutes on it. Pushing one out.
Well, that's a different survey for a different time, my friend.
Get up with Gorney and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
I feel like we need to step into the cone of silence.
Uh-oh.
It's cone time, my friend. It's cone time.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you because I need to... Something happened over the weekend and we need to step into the cone of silence. This is where we can bring up anything and the other person can't get mad. You just bring it up and that's that. So let's take a little step inside, my friend.
Oh, you didn't clean up those muffins last time.
Sorry.
Why didn't you do that?
You know I'm lazy with that stuff.
Ugh. Hold on, I'll just get rid of this bowl.
Yeah. I'll leave it to you to clean the cone. I'm here to create the mess in the cone. You can clean it. Over the weekend, Saturday night, you went to Mardi Gras. Good time. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Yeah.
Ash Pollard at her first Mardi Gras. After Mardi Gras, so we're talking like 9:30, 10 o'clock, which I thought you would have lasted a bit longer than that, to be honest. It's a pretty weak effort, if I'm honest. When I saw some of the action coming out of there, that is nothing.
Yeah.
You started texting me. And you sent me a text. You said, yeah, had a great time. You were covered in glitter, all that stuff we'll get to. And then somehow from there, you moved on to asking me for free stuff. So on my Saturday night when I'm trying to relax, I get a little text from Ash Pollard. She says, how was Pilates? Did you ask them if I could come down? I'd really be keen. I'd really love to get there. Good for the body, you said. So on my Saturday night, I'm trying to relax. At 9:30 at night, you hit me up about free Pilates. And I get it, mate. I love free stuff.
Did I say anywhere in there that I wanted it for free?
You did. You said to me.
Did I say anywhere in those messages that I wanted it for free?
You said, did you ask them if I can come to Pilates?
And like, you've just, like... Do not go paraphrasing that.
Would you pay for the Pilates?
Of course I would.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you pay or would you rather me organise it for you for free? What would you rather?
Well, look, if someone's offering free Pilates. Yeah, you could get
to Pilates. It tells you studio's in there and it there. That's where we're that's where we've been going. So I said, yeah, no worries. I'll shoot him off a text, no worries. And then you just signed off with sweet, thanks, night. Like your Saturday night was made with the free Pilates, my friend. I'm all for helping you out get some stuff for free. I know you come to me for this stuff. But on a Saturday night when I'm trying to relax, I don't know, maybe wait till Monday.
So a friend can't text a friend?
Well, you can ask how my Saturday night's going, but don't ask me for free Pilates.
I did. What did I ask you before that? Let's everybody listening out there, come on.
This is the first text I got through at 9:16 on Saturday night. I'm covered in glitter and stink like cheap cologne from all the guys hugging me. And then you sent me a picture of an eggplant. So that's all I got, Paula.
That's meant to be a penis.
I know. I know. I know what an eggplant is, mate.
I'm sorry for, like, trying to be your friend. I put more effort into this relationship than you do.
I'm all down for being friends, but on a Saturday night at 9:30, can you just not ask me for free stuff? Are we cool with that?
I guess we're not allowed to make excuses in here.
Yep.
And unlike you, I'll stick to the rules of this zone.
Great.
So I'll go, okay.
Okay, that's good. I feel good about that. Let's get out. So did you see a few eggplant emojis on the weekend at Mardi Gras?
I saw more than a few, let me tell you.
Get up with Gorney and Ash Pollard. CFM.
It's all about the Oscars at...
101.3 CFM. Hoopla.
And one man who lives for this day every year is Dean McCarthy, joining us live from the red carpet. Morning, Dean.
Oh, good morning, guys. This is my Super Bowl. This is my RuPaul Drag Race Grand Finale. I am so excited today to be at the Oscars. Oh, and the weather and the energy and the atmosphere. It is so exciting. We're pumped.
You need to tell me, is Harvey Weinstein there?
Weinstein. Not Weinstein.
I haven't seen him anyway. Well, you know what? He's kind of here in spirit. They've put up this statue of him on Hollywood Boulevard where he's sitting on a casting couch and people are taking photos and throwing water bombs at it and all this kind of thing. Yeah, it's a bit ugly, actually. It's a bit dark. But let's hope it doesn't take away from the excitement of the day, because this is Hollywood's night of nights, where the hardest working people in Tinseltown get recognised for their incredible work.
Now, Dean, look, I'm riding high on this, mate. I've thrown a big old juicy $10 on Margot Robbie to win it $21. Is she any chance of bringing home Best Actress for I, Tonya? Because I know the favourite from Three Billboards Outside of Missouri is right up there, right?
Yep. Yeah, Frances McDormand is, you know, in that role, was just sensational. But Margot Robbie did a phenomenal role. Is she going to win? It's a tough category. She's up against Meryl Streep, for goodness sake. Meryl Streep could win an Oscar for playing Batman. You know I'm obsessed with her. I actually think that Frances McDormand will take it out, unfortunately. But Margot Robbie, her and her husband produced that film, and she is so young and so talented. We'll be seeing her in this category again. So, you know, don't lose sleep if she doesn't win today.
They do love her, though. They do love her in Hollywood. That's what I'm I'm thinking maybe is a little bit of a roughie, that they love her that much, she might get over the line. But, I mean, we always love to see the Aussies do well at the Oscars. Is there any other Aussies we should be keeping an eye out for today, Dean?
Yes, there is. Now, last year, there were 14 Oscar nominations from Australia. This year, there are 5. Margot is the main actress, of course. 2 of them are in the film editing category against each other, actually. And 2 more for the live action short film. Their names are Darren Steele and Josh Lawson. So 5 Aussies nominated. The 2 in editing, one of them will win for sure. One of them edited Dunkirk and the other edited Baby Driver. If you've ever seen Baby Driver,
amazing.
Surely he'll win. Isn't that phenomenal how they edited that film?
Have you seen that, Gondi? Yeah.
Give me the name of it again.
Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. I haven't watched that yet. Is that epic, is it?
It's out of this world.
Oh, really? Wow. I have to get onto that. And that's a huge effort for Josh Lawson too. He was on Thank God You're Here and a bunch of random stuff here in Australia, right? Now he's nominated for an Oscar, so that's huge.
I know. The other things they just take off. You know, Margot Robbie was at Home and Away that she was, or Neighbours, sorry. You know, she's just killing the game, killing it.
All right. Well, we look forward to chatting to you again tomorrow after, you know, it's all done and dusted and we find out who wins these things. Who do you think is going to be the first celebrity to rock up on the red carpet? I always love that one. Who's the first one at the Oscars red carpet this morning?
I reckon it'll probably be someone like Jordan Peele or one of the cast of Get Out. Like, they're the new stars. These are their first Oscars. Someone who's a bit newer to the game. I know that, you know, Nicole Kidman, she's presenting today, but she will not be walking the red carpet. Some of the bigger stars that aren't nominated, they don't usually walk the red carpet. They feel like it's a little bit kind of, you know, why? But look, it'll be fabulous. I'll be the last one rocking it. I'll be the one when they're pulling down the signs and all the lights are off. I'll be the one strutting along then.
You'll be like, see you guys, it's Dean from Australia. Have a good Oscar. See you, mate. Try and get into some after parties for us. We always love that stuff tomorrow on the show as well, and we'll catch up then. Good on you, Dean.
Thanks, Dean.
Bye, guys.
Let's go. Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
You had a busy week, Beyonce.
Oh.
She is trying to shut down a class in Melbourne who are doing Beyonce-style dance classes called Bay Dance.
As if you would. You make enough money as it is. Why are you being such a party pooper?
Because someone's profiting off your name and dance moves in Melbourne, so I don't know. Look, I can't get inside the mind of Beyonce. I'll never understand.
It's ridiculous.
I'll never understand. You know who considers themselves a bit of Beyonce?
Who?
Ash Pollard. When she's alone. And she's belting it out. I've heard bits and pieces, mate. I heard your road trip audio with your dad when you're singing Road to Gundagai. And
that's not Beyonce.
No, I know, but really.
I don't mind getting a bit of like Beyonce dance moves,
but, you put
but
the
I
same,
certainly don't think I can sing like Beyonce.
You put the effort in, though. That's what
Speaking
it's all about.
Speaking of singing.
Yes.
I was actually going through my phone the other day, clearing it out, and I came across some audio that I'd recorded in 2012 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like many moons ago. And it's me singing, right? I used to sit down and record myself singing to like backing tracks on YouTube because I was trying to teach myself how to sing. Yeah.
Did you think you were going to become a singer? Were you writing songs?
No, but like
or?
I semi knew that I could hold a tune at least.
Mm.
And I thought, I'll do this and I'll listen back to see if I can actually sing.
Yeah.
So I'd listen back, but But I still don't know, you know, like I'm not quite sure. Look, I've got this bit of audio and I sort of want to get your opinion on whether or not you think I can sing. Oh. I'm nervous to play this.
I feel
sick. Like,
this is brave, mate.
Yeah, it's brave.
Your voice memos on your phone.
Oh,
from
my God.
6 years ago. All right, who's the artist that you're singing? Just so I can.
Alicia Keys.
Oh, she's.
I know. It's like the hardest song to sing in the world.
All right.
If you think I'm bad, look, that's fine. I'm willing to take it. But I just want to have some courage and put it out there.
I got to hear it. All right, here we go.
Some people live for fortune. Some people live just for the fame.
So that's you.
Yep.
That's nice,
mate. Some people live for the power.
I think that's pretty good, if I'm honest with you.
Do you?
Yeah, I genuinely do. I think that's pretty good. That's good stuff.
It's so polite, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It just sounds so polite.
I've got to see the video of that. It's like when you see someone on YouTube and their facial expressions are, you know, they're really into it.
It's me sitting at the desk just sort of singing into my phone.
Yep.
So you think that's good?
I think it's better than what I expected it to be.
Okay.
After I heard Road to Gundagai in the car, I mean, that's...
On the road to Gundagai.
Bit of a difference to that, yeah. But, mate, I like it.
You reckon?
I think you've missed your calling. I think you could be
so
a singer.
I don't even need to put it out to the people. The buck stops at you, mate.
I think that's good quality stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have that secret, top secret song you want to do with Casey Donovan.
Yes.
Who... I mean, I'd love to hear you guys get into the studio together and record a song. Have you talked ideas, you and Casey?
We have. Yeah, we've discussed ideas.
And what's the big one at the moment?
Well, I don't want to do any Jesse Depressy stuff.
No.
And Casey does a lot of that, like broken loves and broken heart, whatever.
What about her journey as an Uber driver?
I want to do jazzy, fun, sexy, sassy, you know?
Yeah, sexy, sassy Uber driver. It could be done. You need to draw on real life things.
Well, I will be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Casey's is her time as an Uber driver. What would you draw on, Ash? What would you possibly draw on to sing about? Here we go. This would be good. What's the one thing in your life you'd like to sing about? Good start, mate. I can see this recording session go real well.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
40th anniversary of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras the weekend.
Nice.
It was so cool. I took a trip to Sydney, not necessarily for the Mardi Gras, actually. It was a bit of an accident that it all happened to be on the same weekend.
So
my girlfriends and I, headed to Sydney. My girlfriends that I grew up with and went to school with on the Gold Coast flew in and I met them in Sydney, and it just so happened that it coincided with the Mardi Gras. So we thought, well, let's go and check it out.
It's the biggest party of the year.
Humongaroso, let me tell you. It was so cool. Even Maps had like a rainbow trail along Oxford Street if you looked on Google Maps. Also, Uber did the little trail as well. Cute.
Can
you know?
I ask? I know it's your first time in Mardi Gras. I haven't actually been personally myself, but with the whole marriage equality thing of the last 12 months, were you feeling the extra love? You know, these people, you know, people that have been through years of discrimination and whatnot now feel accepted in a way.
Look,
so was there a sense of celebration on that?
I think in some ways, yeah, most definitely. I used to live in Sydney and I was around for the Mardi Gras, but I never actually went up to Oxford Street and had a look. But I can't really compare it, but I definitely thought there was perhaps slightly more ovation than previous years.
Okay.
Anyway, I decided after dinner that I'd go up with my girlfriend just to have a look, and it was heaving. I'm telling you, you could not move. You couldn't move to have a look. There are about 50 people deep from the actual balustrade area where you stand to watch it. People had been sitting there since 2 p.m. And I was recording myself as I was trying to maneuver the crowds. Have a listen. It is hectic. Do you know what I think was happening there?
You summed that up well.
Yeah. Thanks, Gia. That's an excellent
with one word,
little bit of audio.
You've summed it up. That was like Bruce McAvaney commentating that.
What kept going off every 5 minutes were these really wicked rainbow flames.
Yeah.
And then guns full of glitter that would explode like every 5 to 10 minutes. Here's another snippet of audio.
It is an impossibility to try and get up. Can't see shit.
Party's raging.
Honestly, you could not see anything. Even if my girlfriend had lifted me up, you couldn't see anything because everybody had bought their milk crates and piled them one on top of the other. Some guy was standing on a ladder. Some chick was standing on 7 milk crates like on top of each other in the air to see over everything.
So all you've got is some guy covered in glitter and mesh with his butt in your face.
Pretty much. There were girls that jumped up on portable toilets and they were caving the lids in on those things. All I was trying to do was get to the front. I am properly stuck in between this guy and another random and this lady here.
Big old glittery mosh pit.
It was. I finished the night literally after about 20 minutes of trying to manoeuvre the crowds. I was sweaty. I had 10 litres of glitter all over me.
Mm.
But you know what? Everybody was having such a great time on the walk home. People were out on their balconies dancing, playing. So everybody was so happy that night.
Yeah, it's bigger than...
And it was such a good night to see the camaraderie and community of Sydney City.
It's bigger than Christmas. I mean, you just have to look at the two parades back to back. But I think there's only one way we can possibly round this out, and that is with the words of Ash Pollard.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
13, 12, 16, phone line is always open. We love having you part of the show. We're talking about Barnaby Joyce after 8 o'clock this morning. He's claiming the baby might not be his.
Barnaby Joyce.
Barnaby Joyce Gate.
Yes! Barnaby Gate.
We've taken a couple of calls already on 13, 12, 16 when the baby wasn't yours. We'd love some more if you've got a story. Hit us up. Doesn't even have to have happened to you. Maybe someone you know. Get in touch with us, 13, 12, 16. Just want to quickly run something by you. Today's a big day.
Why?
And my nephew Cooper, who's 5, has said to his mum, my sister, when is Uncle Daniel and Auntie Jamie going to pick me up from big school?
Oh.
So he's just gone to big school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the full big school, you know, uniform on. He's 5 years old. So he's...
What's that, grade one?
I think it might be the one just before grade one.
Okay, prep.
So picking him up today.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What time?
A little bit later this afternoon. I think they finish around sometime between 2 and 3.
Are you nervous?
I am, actually.
Are you?
Yeah, because it's a pretty big moment, I guess, for big school. I mean, I know I'm not there for the drop-off for his first day, so that's kind of already happened. But
you're going to have to rock up, get out, walk in, sign him out.
Yep.
Oh.
I did it once at...
Does he know you're coming?
He asked when it could happen. So I'm not sure if Jody, my sister's let him know. I also know he listens to this show. So hi, Coop. If you're hearing this,
Uncle Daniel's coming to pick you up from school today.
We're doing that today. Yeah. You should have seen his little face when I picked him up from little school. He was so shocked when I walked in. He turned around and he was like, it was like he'd seen Santa. He couldn't believe it and raced over to me. So
The little things.
So is he at an age right now, 5, he's not at that age yet where they get embarrassed by their parents or their uncle or anything picking them up. I'm just wondering.
No.
Like, should I come in dressed as a clown or something just to...
I wouldn't choose the clown.
Okay, no clown costume. No.
I think you're funny enough as it is.
Thanks, mate.
Yep.
What, funny looking to the, to the young kids?
Yeah. No. I just reckon just go as is. That's just so exciting to have your uncle pick you up from school.
I think I'm going to get emotional today.
Oh, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not going to get emosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
I haven't seen you get emosh.
I get emosh, mate.
What about?
I watched that movie Click with Adam Sandler.
Click?
Yeah, Click with the remote.
When
he fast forwards through his life and he misses out on some of the key factors of life.
And you had a tear.
Yeah, that got me.
All right, so you're not heartless after all.
That and Adam Sandler's acting in the movie was pretty
bad. Yes!
Get up with- Gondy and Ash Pollard. 101.3 CFM.
Just after 8, not long until the Oscars kick off this morning.
You love them?
It's on Channel 9 today. Do you want to check it out?
I never really got into it.
I like the aftermath of it. I like finding out who won and all that kind of. I don't really sit through the whole ceremony, but I'm interested to find out who wins Best Movie, Best Actress. I've got $10.
You do.
Riding.
Imagine how much you're going to win.
On Margot. I got her at $21.
Oh.
So that'll be $210. She
That's
pulls through
not
for
bad
right
for Monday if you get that, I tell you what.
The favourite is paying $1.04. It's a pretty hot, hot price favourite. Yep. Gamble responsibly if you're looking at doing that today. I don't know if many people would be getting on the Oscars, would they?
Oh, people are obsessed with it.
I just did it to
people
back...
People stream it live at their desks at work.
Really?
Yep.
I just did it to back an Aussie. I just think, you know, they love Margot over there. Who knows?
I know you're a bit of a gambler. I didn't know that.
I'm not a gambler, mate. What, $10 on Margot's a...
Yeah, you do funny things sometimes. Surprises me.
Are you someone that sits down and watches the red carpet and goes
through... Absolutely not.
No?
No.
Why's that?
I have no interest.
You don't
it's
know...
It's funny. No, I don't.
You don't know who they're wearing and all that kind of...
I don't care.
That
Even
kind of
the
stuff.
Victoria's Secret Parade. Cannot care less. Rather go down to the pub for a beer and a schnitty.
You're just a woman of the people, aren't you?
Well, I try.
Do you find it degrading when they say, who are you wearing? Because I know a lot of the ladies are trying to stamp that out. They're saying, you know, ask us more than who we're wearing, what designer we're wearing.
Well, that's the whole point of the red carpet, is it not?
Yeah, I don't know. They're there for their acting ability, are they not?
Yeah, but if they've done well enough, then they'll get a mention on the on stage.
Okay.
But if they haven't, then who are you wearing?
Who are you wearing? People go mad
People
for what...
People read into so much stuff these days. Honestly, why are you offended at someone asking you who you're wearing?
Especially
if you don't care, just come in some jeans and a T.O., mate.
Don't go to all the trouble of the
don't
designer.
Don't go to the trouble if you're going to get offended, if you're going to get asked what you're wearing. Honestly, what is
true.
Wrong?
Never thought of it like that.
Oh.
We're going to get to Barnaby Gate next on the show.
No, Barnaby Gate.
Barnaby Gate next on the show. Yep. And we took a call from a guy named Ben who's been in a position where he found out the baby wasn't his.
This is ruthless.
That call next.
Let's go. Get up with Gondy and Ash Pollard. CFM.
Barnaby Baby Gate.
Barnaby Gate.
Barnaby Gate.
You're struggling with that.
We haven't covered a lot of Barnaby Joyce on this show because the whole thing is sickening.
It's sickening and he's a twit because why?
Well.
Would you be so rude?
He had a loving family and it's all, I mean, he's been stood down from his position now off the back of what we found out with.
And I didn't know how I felt about that either.
A staffer? What, until now?
Well, I just wasn't sure because, you know... You can believe all the stuff that you hear in the news and everything, but there's always two sides to a story.
Right.
Isn't there?
Yeah, I'd say there's multiple sides to a story, well, especially one like
you know
this.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get you. I get you.
And I just was like, well, unfortunately for him, his career and his role is in the public eye.
Yeah.
So if you are going to go and do something like that, you then have to pay for the consequences. And consequently, those consequences are that everybody's going to know about it. Isn't it?
It is true. And then over the weekend, I was surprised to hear that he was claiming that the paternity of the baby might not be his. So Barnaby Joyce, he says, he's defended his decision to publicly cast doubt on the paternity of the child of his former staffer and now partner, Vicky Campion.
Right. Can I just say, before you go on, hold on, he's cast doubt. So he hasn't actually said, no, the child isn't mine.
No, he's cast doubt. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, So and he's actually saving himself there if the child is his.
Well, he's claiming they had no choice but to tell their side of the story. Did an interview over the weekend and the former Deputy Prime Minister suggested the identity of the biological father was a grey area but said it made no difference because he intended to raise the boy as if it's his own, regardless.
What?
So there you go. Which got me thinking, I mean, 13, 12, 16, have you ever been in that position? Because I don't know anyone, but I thought maybe this happens more than I know if Barnaby's throwing it out there like that. 13, 12, 16 is our number. We're to a call from Ben, which we'll get to in a sec, but John in Wyong has just called through. Morning, John.
Morning, guys. How you going?
We're
great,
good, mate.
John.
You found out the baby wasn't yours, John.
What was that, sorry?
You found out a baby wasn't yours, mate.
Yeah, I did. had been seeing my ex still, and she fell pregnant, and pretty much after the baby was born, I was having the little baby every weekend, every second weekend, and then my mum actually pushed for me to go and get a DNA test after about 12 months, and found out it wasn't mine.
Oh my gosh, that sucks, mate.
And so how did you bring that up? How did you say, I feel like we need to do a test? That's an awkward conversation to have.
Pretty much, I was young at the time. My mum turned around and said to her, look, we're getting a DNA test. I have my concerns.
Yeah.
I had a little brother that was like 14 years difference between me and him. He'd actually become that attached to the baby. It ripped him apart.
Oh my gosh.
I never used to drink. I turned into a full-blown alcoholic because of it.
Mate.
And
John, this is the worst.
It's 12 months, about 12 years now since that happened, and it's still a sore point, but I'm now married with two stepdaughters. I've got my own daughter as well.
And have you seen this kid since?
Occasionally I'll have a quick look on Facebook and see how he's doing and what he looks like, but yeah, that's about it now. I try and stay away.
John, that's brutal. Do you know who the father of the child is in the end?
I don't.
That's sad for the kid too, because I mean the kid essentially now grows up without a dad. And do you think she knew and she was just trying to keep you around and was happy
After the DNA test come back, she actually accused me of getting someone else to go and do the DNA test.
It wasn't mine. Oh, God, this woman's bad news.
People make me sick. Well, mate, congratulations for moving on and with your life.
As horrible as that is, I think you're better off. You've got your own kid now and two stepchildren. I think you've ended up pretty good.
Yeah, I have, but it's still... One thing in your heart that's always going to hurt with that sort of stuff.
Well, mate, we appreciate you sharing your story with us this morning. We've been taking a few more off air, which we'll get to next on 13, 12, 16. If you'd like to share yours with us here at Sea, it takes a brave person to call up and share that info with us. So we appreciate that, John. Thanks, mate.
Get up with Gaundy and Ash Pollard, CFM.
13, 12, 16. When was the baby not yours?
Oh, this is heavy.
It is heavy duty stuff. But
it's so heavy.
People are calling the show, and Barnaby Joyce over the weekend defended his decision to publicly cast doubt on the paternity of the child of his former staffer, saying he had no choice but to tell their side of the story. And he said it's a grey area, the father of the child. It's heavy stuff.
I mean, what are you, okay, it might not be his.
He said he's going to raise the child regardless.
Is that what he said?
Yep, that's what he said.
Why?
In the interview. He's standing by his new partner. They're actually together.
Yeah.
From what I've seen and read, they're actually together. But we've had people call our show this morning as to when they've been in a similar or the same situation. And Mark from Baddow Bay's called through, 13, 12, 16. Morning, Mark.
How you doing?
We're good, mate. We're finding out this morning that this is more regular than we think.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of a long story, guys, but basically there's an 8-year-old daughter out there that for the last 8 years has thought I was the dad. And November 30 last year, I discovered she wasn't by way of a DNA test.
8 years.
Have you told her?
Well, I have never had anything to do with her, so... It is a really long story, but I'll give you the shortest version possible.
Yeah.
Basically, the mother said I was the dad, said I wasn't the dad, said the dates didn't match up. She was with a guy who she got with after we'd been together for a little while. They split when the child was 5 months old. That's when she turned around and said it was mine. But prior to that, she'd said she'd had a DNA test with him and it was his. So I was skeptical from the start. I opted to do a DNA test before I had any involvement, and she kind of disappeared for a couple of years.
Right.
Then I did my tax 5 years ago, and money was taken out of my tax return.
What?
And I called up the ATO, and I'm like, look, what's going on here? Money's been taken out. And they said, yeah, it's for your child. I'm like, child, what?
Oh.
So I've spent the last 5 years in court cases trying to get the court to force her to have a DNA test so that I could prove it wasn't mine.
Oh, mate, my God.
The whole time you're telling me the story, I feel like sick in the pit of my stomach. I mean,
5 years of court hearings.
You would have felt that a lot of times along the journey, I'm sure.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Like, what she done and how the system works is just completely unfair. She basically, all she did was had my surname as my mother's maiden name, right, which still legally ties to me. Okay. And she got all the court documents, you know, subpoenaing me to court to say I was the father, sent to the wrong address. So I didn't even know about the court case. I didn't even know it was on. And then because it was in a different name, I couldn't get any of the information back because it's a breach of privacy because it wasn't even in my name.
So you finally got the test and you found out that the child is not yours.
November 30 last year, three great things happened to me. Finished a job I was unhappy in.
Yep.
Found out the child wasn't mine. I found out Macca's were bringing back mustard sauce.
I mean, they're just three really good things.
Let's go.
Get up with Gondi and Ash Pollard. CFM.
13, 12, 16. I'd love to hear from the people that have watched this movie, Wonder, with Owen Wilson and
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. I watched it over the weekend. Number one on iTunes it is right now.
Is it?
Number one movie on iTunes. I don't know how it went under the radar with a cast like that.
No, I don't think it has. I just don't think you've been privy to it.
Yeah, I missed it. I completely missed it at the cinema. But Jamie and I watched it on Friday night. We watched the trailer for it. Jamie cried in the trailer. So I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to be one of those movies. But it's about a young boy by the name of Augie Pullman. And he goes to school for the very first time. And he's, well, I've got a piece of the audio where he kind of sets up his story. But have a listen to this.
My name is Augie Pullman. Next week, I start fifth grade. And since I've never been to real school before, I'm pretty much totally petrified. I know I'm not an ordinary 10-year-old kid. I've had 27 surgeries. They told me to breathe, to see, to hear without a hearing aid, but none of them have made me look ordinary.
So he doesn't look,
I've got goosies big time.
He doesn't look like the other kids look like. No. And he goes to school for the very first time. And we, this time on Friday show last week, we were talking about bullying. Weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how you went through it in school.
Yep. Lisa, I still go through it now.
Still go through it to this day, even as an adult. And people would know that from their own workplaces or people going to school. And I watched the movie and I thought, this movie, because it shows this kid going to school and it does cop a hard time and then...
Because of the way he looks.
Because of the way he looks and then they, you know, realise that underneath all that he's just a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this movie needs to be shown in schools. This movie needs to be shown in school class. I don't know if they still do that. Remember when they used to wheel out the TV in class?
Yeah.
And you're like, jackpot,
everybody,
here we go.
Yeah. Everybody's got iPads now.
This is the best time. Yeah. But I feel like this movie needs to be shown in schools, and I'm happy to push for this.
So essentially it's giving you an idea of the bullying this poor kid goes through.
Yep.
Is it full circle?
What do you mean? So by, well, I don't want to give the end away.
No.
By any means. But
is it, do you feel good by the end of it?
You feel good. It's one of those messages, and it even says in the movie that everyone, be nice to everyone because everyone's fighting their own battle.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You know what I mean? Everyone's fighting their own battle, so.
Yeah.
You don't know what someone's going through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I want to chat to some people who have seen the movie. Jodie's in Copacabana. Morning, Jodes.
Morning, Gordy. Morning, Ash.
Good morning, Jodie. Have you seen the movie?
I have. I've seen it twice.
Oh, my God. Did you cry both times?
The first time I bawled from start to finish because it reminds me so much of what my son is going through.
Yep.
The second time I went to watch it so that I could enjoy it for what it was.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch it again as well.
It's got so many messages and it just resonates so much with what is going on with my son. He's deaf. He's been bullied.
Does he go to a regular school?
He goes to mainstream school. They're a fantastic school, but they're still like everywhere else. There's always that one or two people that think it's okay to pick on people.
Well, it's kids, regardless. You know. Kids don't think twice about it. They just think it's funny and they're getting a rise out of it. But would you back me in saying that this movie should be shown in school? Because I reckon this movie would get through to some of those kids.
Yeah, I think it would. And I'm going to praise Copacabana Public School because they took their second and third class classes last year to see the movie when it was first released.
Nice.
And they read the book in school.
See?
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, that's good to hear. And thanks for your call this morning, Jodie. Hopefully your son is doing well at school. That's what, you know, we hope that goes well. Jess is in Wyoming. Morning, Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, mate. You cried during the movie?
Oh, Paul would like a baby.
Yeah, it's just like that. Good movie, though. Would you back me in saying that, you know, we can take this, we should take this to the schools and get all the kids watching it?
Oh, most definitely. But I also feel like they should also play in high school 13 Reasons Why to show them also how teenagers are also bullied and how suicide is so easy for them.
I found 13 Reasons really quite confronting.
It's heavy duty.
Heavy duty, but also I feel that sometimes people think that suicide is fashionable. Dare I say it?
Wow, I've never heard that.
Well, this movie almost...
It's not so much fashionable, but that it's the only way to get out of...
Like there's no other option. Like it's the thing to do. Perhaps not fashionable, but it's the thing to do.
There is something you can do, and that's called Lifeline on 13, 11, 14, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If that's you in that boat, but I really feel like this movie. I mean, this movie is not as heavy as 13 Reasons Why by any means, but definitely worth one. If not shown in the schools, at least as a parent.
Take your kids.
This is the movie this weekend. Download it on iTunes. It's number one on iTunes. Sit down and watch it with your kid, and I guarantee off the back of watching this movie, you couldn't bring yourself to bully another kid. You honestly could not bring yourself to bully another kid. So
I just don't understand why people do it anyway.
It's one of those things that is hard to understand, but if we can do these little things along the way to help those people along their way who are getting bullied, then that's what it's all about. But the movie is called Wonder. Once you've seen it, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. You got to see it, Ash.
Oh, I'm going to see it for sure.
Get on
I'm
it.
Considering doing it today, actually,
yep.
Before I go and donate blood.
Wonder, that's the movie to see.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard.
CFM.
Hey, just carefully before... carefully...
We've clocked off for the day.
Yeah, we have. Just before we actually do wrap, though, Dee from the Animal Care Facility. Now, Dee calls every week to give us the dog of the week, but she's actually just sent out a bit of an SOS to us here, and I feel like it is our duty to reach out to the Sunny Coast and see if they can help. Their van has broken down in Sydney, and they've had to be towed back to the pound. Problem is they've got a few dogs that need rescuing from Cowra and Campbelltown. So if there are any carriers out there coming from Cowra or going to Cowra and back or even Campbelltown and back that have space for some dogs in their van or car, or if they've got at least a van or a larger car that they can allow the Central Coast Animal Care Facility to borrow, that would be amazing because they need help getting these animals back to the facility at some point today or tomorrow even.
No better travel buddy. And so do they contact the Central Coast Animal Care Facility?
Yes, yes, yes. Quick, what is the number?
You can look
that
up.
The number is 02-4304-4350 or just jump on the internet and Google Animal Care Facility Central Coast.
Yep, or get in touch with us and we can put you in touch with them. I have a guy that hit me up who runs a stretch limo company. Maybe we can get him stretch
limo.
Put
them all in the Hummer.
The dogs jump straight in there. Wouldn't that be great? Done for a Monday show, and tomorrow on the show we took some calls on this Barna Baby Gate. Of some blokes they called through actually and found out the baby wasn't theirs. So we have more of those calls on the show tomorrow that we didn't get time for today. So we will get to that on the show tomorrow and just an all-round big one for a Tuesday. Have a good one.
Chew.
Bye.
Get up with Gaunty and Ash Pollard.
CFM.